the pages that we have from the additional Seifim that are missing from the Eretz HaTorah, we're up to Seif Tes. So it's page 322, I don't know if it came out, the numbers on the bottom, or whatever, it's Seif Tes. The Rayonis Mufshotim. The Rayonis Mufshotim Mukhonim Harbi Mibanenu. That many of our children, many of our sons, our children, are prepared to learn and to understand the deeper esoteric teachings of Torah. Rayonos, ideas, mufshotim, esoteric, abstract, deep. Our children are ready for this. And Rav Kook explains here it's not a problem to find customers. Yeah, Baruch Hashem, it's not a problem to find customers. We have a natural inclination and a desire to understand, to learn, especially at the time of Ikkus of the Mashiach. There's a tremendous desire to want. The problem of Kook goes on now and says is Omnam Levasesis Arayanos Alabosis Amaisi Hi Avaidis Chachamim Hatsuichalonu Achshav Ma'aid. However, to take these great concepts of Yiddishkeit, these deep, profound ideas, thoughts, and feelings of Pnimi Satire, and to establish healthy Jewish lives in a practical way, in a Lamaisa Dika way, this is very much needed nowadays. This is very, very needed. And for this, he says, this is Avadis Chacham. We were learning last week how Rav Kook was crying about the lack of leaders who understand this, who are sensitive to this, and who could lead the new generation in this Avaida. It's not just, Rav Kook says, it's not just a matter of understanding the deeper teachings of Torah. He says, for that you'll have, there are many, many people who are ready for that and who enjoy that and who can really, really grow in their understanding of the deeper concepts of Yiddishkeit. And we see that everywhere. That's not something which is uncommon. However, that it should be translated into a life, a healthy life of a balanced life of Yiddishkeit, of Kiyum HaMitzvahs, of working, of raising a family, and so on. That already, that's very, very hard. And he avodis chachamim. For that, we need special chachamim. Es ha-pri ha-elyoin ha-mezgala b'knesses Yisrael nuchel b'kal b'nakel la-hazbir. Rav Kook says it's relatively easy to explain the Pri HaElyon, the ultimate goal of what a Jew could be like. Meaning he calls it a Pri HaElyon, like a fruit, you know, like the Toldos, the Peiros, like in this parasha. To describe and to paint a picture of the ultimate Jew, of the ultimate Jew who's complete in Nigla, and in Nister, and the revealed part of Torah, and the hidden part of Torah. To picture such an individual, to describe such an individual, and how such a person should be, and how such a person should look. So if Kook says, that's relatively easy. I mean, it's easy for him, but it's relatively easy. That's what we're doing. It's relatively easy. V'limtzo gam chaverim makshivim. And to find people who are open to hearing these things, the more exalted and deeper part of Torah, to find chaverim makshivim. It's an interesting thing he put, how Rav Kook says that we could find makshivim, people who are primed for hearing, for paying attention to Pnimiyus HaTorah, we could especially find them by Baalei Tshuva, which we've spoken about many, many times. Obviously, these are people who, by the very definition of who they are, they're searching. They're trying to find their way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, to be able to find open ears and open hearts when it comes to Pnimiyus HaTorah, mi Baalei Tshuva, even from people who are chachamim, shaholcha b'derech v'chayka, that have gone far away from Yiddishkeit, who have gone far away from Torah mitzvahs. Va'ata libam el amam, but their hearts are now connected to their people. There's a great love for the Jewish people. Rav Kook was surrounded by such individuals. Jews who are no longer from, who might have come from homes, and might have been in the yeshivas, They left Torah mitzvahs, but there are people who are in love with Am Yisrael, who think every minute about Am Yisrael, who are constantly worried about Am Yisrael. So Rav Kook says these are people who are makshivim. They're makshivim. They're good listeners. Now, these people are often better listeners than the ones who are on the program already. They're good listeners. Aval eich noitim es hagan bepoal. The fruit I could describe, the ultimate taste of what that kind of a Jew could be like, and to find people who want to hear this, and people who could get excited about it, and people who want that in their lives. So if Cook says that's relatively easy. The problem is, Eich noitim es hagan bepoal, how do you actually, lemaisa, how do you plant such a garden? How do you plant such a garden? Bepoal. Eich mezablim ha'adrim mekaskesim, Eisai. All the things that you need to do in the field, fertilizing and all the stuff that you have to do, raking and clearing out the stuff that doesn't belong, all of that. That's the problem. Ech mezavlim ha'adrim akaskisim, I say. Mezet sarach ha'arvas chochme el yoyna. For that there needs to be ha'arav chochme el yoyna. There needs to be a great outpouring of wisdom. HaChochmah HaElyoyna Kishihim Hi'ira Yafeh, when the Chochmah HaElyoyna is shining brightly, and he's referring to something in Kabbalah too, but even without that, to understand, because he's talking about Chochmah HaElyoyna, he's talking about a particular Mida that's called Chochmah HaElyoyna. We're not going to go into that, but when this Chochmah HaElyoyna is Mi'ira Yafeh, when it's shining in a bright and clear way, he mishivas kol hara yoinais ha'avirim l'klal polo ma'ise. Chochme al yoina, when it's in a healthy way, can take all of the beautiful ideas that we're talking about of Yiddishkeit that are avirim. Avirim means air, like ethereal, not practical, not tangible, abstract. And with the Chochmah HaElyoyna, these great, these deep, profound ideas that are abstract can be brought l'chlal poel u'maise. I was just reading a wonderful letter from a Talmud of mine 5 minutes ago that he became mekusher to a very, very big tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael, to a very, very, very big tzaddik, and has the schus of having a close kesher with him. And the most beautiful thing about this particular letter is that he describes in the letter how his whole Shalom Bayis is different. The way that he is with his children. The Simcha in the home. has been completely, completely transformed. The house is a different house. That's an extraordinary thing. That's very uncommon. You know, there are a lot of people that will say, "Ooh, I heard a gewaldige shir. Ooh, this is a sefer. Ooh, this is a tzaddik." But then, as far as their own personal lives are concerned, it remains the same wreck that it always was. It doesn't. The house is the same house. What he writes here in the letter is that how him and his wife talk to each other, and the way that it is with the children, meaning all the way down to asiya sheba asiya, to the simplest things of living in a home with a wife and little children. Everything has become uplifted. It's become different. Not Kabbalistic. He's not talking Kabbalah with his kids or with his wife. But the panemius that he is learning is taking place, it's happening with such a person in such a way that it's able to be brought down all the way into the lamaisa of making life different. Otherwise, ideas can remain in a state of being avirium. Avir means air. Just a lot of beautiful ideas, like air. But it might, you know, it helps you. You're able to breathe, and it gives you a chiyus, but you can't touch it. You can't hold it. So I told you once that years ago there was a friend of mine that he said that his kid, they were once at the Shabbos table, and this kid is already like 16, 17 years old, and the kid said, "Could I ask you something?" And this is the father, this person said, Talmud Chacham, and he says a lot of beautiful Torah and so on. So the kid said, "Could I ask you something, Abba, Daddy, whatever?" He says, "Sure." She says, "What does it mean? What does it mean, Halig?" Halig is, of course, means holy. But what does it mean? What does it mean, holiness? What's Halig? I've been listening to you say that since I'm like 2 years old. Halig is this and holy that. He says, "I have no idea what you're talking about." So that he told my friend, he says, like, it's a good thing he spoke up. He's 16, 17 years old, you know. He hasn't understood one thing that I've spoken about. And kids will do that. They'll just sit around, they'll cooperate. Cooperate and they go along, the kids are nice and they know that and they respect their parents, and they'll go along and they nod their heads and they shkayach, shkayach. They don't know what we're talking about. What does that mean? So I asked, "So what do you tell them?" So I said, "It's a good question. It's a question. We're going to talk about it." And so that's we had this whole conversation about, you know, what would be a good way to try to explain to the kids what does that mean? Hey, look. You know, all the years, the Halig in the Shama, Halig Yiddish in the Shama, Halig, what does it mean? Halig. You can go till 120, and these are things that are just like fluffy, airy concepts. The truth is that Kedusha, holiness, is a very practical way of life, a life of holiness. A life of holiness is not just a matter of, it's not an Indian, just, you know, of closing your eyes and hearing a niggun or something. That's part of it, but it goes into the cracks of the tiles of the home, and of the hearts of the people who live in that home, and of the lamais of how a person is, and that it takes a special chachma elyona. Chachma elyona is a light that is very, very, very inclusive. It goes from the highest all the way down to the lowest. And every single Jew deserves that, to be exposed to the deepest, deepest concepts of Yiddishkeit, and to be brought into a life that is a manifestation of those deep concepts of Yiddishkeit. Otherwise, you could be a novel Brishus HaTorah. You could be a person that's just, what you learn and what you do are two completely different things. So this Rav Kook says is a tremendous need. There's a tremendous need for this. He says it's not so hard to explain, at least to certain segments of our population, the great need for pneumias. But how do you bring this down to plant a garden? The expression that's borrowed from the Gemara, which means to be grounded. We would say to be grounded. You could have a person that has a brilliant design for a house or for a building. It's brilliant. Look, the World Trade Center was a beautiful building. It was magnificent. They got a clap and the whole thing fell down. I don't know how long it took, an hour or whatever, 2 hours. It fell down, the whole thing. A person's entire building of Yiddishkeit can fall down in a minute if it's not planted in a good way. So kalbali umnius oimdim al yoda al akarka. To be grounded, that the deep esoteric teachings of Torah should be able to be lived, the poil, and to be translated into good midas, derech eretz. There's nothing wrong with a makubal opening a door for somebody, right? Into derech eretz, into asiyah shabasi, into the simplest things in life, except every simple thing in life, like I was explaining last week, every simple thing in life is choshev. That's really what kedusha is. I was explaining that on Shabbos in the afternoon. That there's no such thing as a davish ma bekach, like the Ishbitzin says. Everything is from a higher place, but everything is, including opening a door, including helping your mom get ready for Shabbos, and whatever else is involved. So I had a mother from the shul, I remember this years ago, was telling me that the son sits the whole Erev Shabbos and he's learning Svar Makadoshim and things like this. But none of that ever got him to lift up a broom or to clean his room. So the Kedush Levi and the Svar Samus never brought him to the map. The Kedusha Levi never got him to pick up a map. So instead he could have his mom running around the whole day, and he's sitting there with his eyes closed thinking about what the Kedusha Levi is saying, and never got him to pick up a broom. That's not what the Kedusha Levi had in mind. The Kedusha Levi had in mind that the kid would pick up the broom and would help his mother. While he'd be doing that, he'd be thinking, when he's cleaning the floor, he's thinking about cleaning up his neshama, his life, cleaning up his brain, but not at the expense of his cleaning up the floor. He would also clean the floor. That's what it means. How do you plant this in a practical way? It's very, very, very hard. That Rav Kook says is very hard. This, only with this, Rav Kook says, can we show a path. A clear path. There are so many Jews who have broken down all the practical barriers, I mean, all the practical, conventional ways of life. Remember that the time that Rav Kook was living in, where thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews who came from Heiliger homes, beautiful from Jewish homes in Europe, and Sfardim, that they were coming, they were destroying everything. All the Yiddishkeit. So if Cook saw this, this is what was going on. We're already after a lot of that, and now it's in a different way, but of Cook, where Kalais Mishaparsu Gudeiros Maisias, the pile of Tsiyum the Droshim Lahem Lamaisa. To them, Yiddishkeit also could sound like something very beautiful. You know, there are people who are totally not from, they write about Yiddishkeit in the most beautiful way, in the most glowing way, in the most poetic way. There are people who are like that, they love Yiddishkeit. And they write about it, and they paint paintings of Yiddishkeit, of Yerushalayim, and of tzaddikim, they love it. But as far as how that beauty is to be lived, there's a terrible disconnect. There are beautiful ideas and beautiful concepts. You know, all the reform conservatives, they run around talking about Tikkun HaOlam. You know, you ever hear this? Tikkun HaOlam. It was Tikkun HaOlam. Fix what? Oh, Tikkun HaOlam. Right. I don't remember if I had it. I had something. So, what does that mean, Tikkun HaOlam? What do they mean when they say Tikkun HaOlam? So I was reading an article by one of these Tikkun HaOlam people where he's saying how the Orthodox with all of their focus on all the ridiculous details of men and women sitting separate and all this stuff, they're acting in a way that is counterproductive to Tikkun HaOlam. I mean, halacha, in his eyes, halacha is not good for Tikkun HaOlam. That's a strange thing.
Tikkun HaOlam means whatever is popular among liberals at the time.
That's exactly what it means. Whatever is popular among liberals at the time is called Tikkun HaOlam. It's a very good way of not taking care of yourself, as long as you keep on talking about Tikkun HaOlam. But the fact is that there are very kind and good people that actually believe this stuff and think about it. And it's not all just a matter of negiyas, and there are people looking for the truth also. Not just late sons. There are people looking for the truth. I have a cousin who could have been such maybe she still will be a Mitzvah Shem. She could have been so firm. She has such a spiritual side to her. And she's got in with all these, New Age spirituality things. She's a wonderful girl. She's older than me. But there's that Indian that she was looking for, and she didn't find it. You know, she went in a way not like her parents. And she didn't find it. She's not some sort of a person that's trying to run away from responsibilities. She's a serious person. And I've had conversations with her over the years. Also with the Tikkun HaOlam, Tikkun HaOlam, Tikkun HaOlam, she said. She wants to know, how does Tefillin, Tikkun HaOlam, how is this Tikkun HaOlam, how does it mess up Tikkun HaOlam if you move the pencil on Shabbos? What is that? How does that ruin the world and so on? No, these conversations, they're good questions. But a person like that, if somebody would take a person like that, and it's hard, as I've tried, it's hard. You know, with family, it's always harder than with other people. To take somebody and to explain and to show how the inyan of moving a pencil on Shabbos, of moving something that's muktzah on Shabbos, that it ruins the olam. And to be able to appreciate a life without moving pencils on Shabbos as part a very big inyan in Avodas Hashem and Tikkun HaOlam. Instead of thinking that voting for Obama is Tikkun HaOlam or something. These are the conversations, you know, you'll have with these people. Which I told you about. Someone told me it was a joke that was going around with this. Some Hasidic Shayid said from Williamsburg that he's so sick and tired of what's going on with America, with the president. He says that if Obama wins, that's it. I'm leaving America. I've had it. I'm moving to Muncie. Yeah, he moved to Muncie. I'm finished with America. He thinks that's it. Outside of Williamsburg, it's like, you know. How do we take back these lost lives? Ulihikonis lifnim and hakloim b'machni yisrael b'poil b'maisa. Well, maybe he's not talking about the lives. I think he's talking about these deep concepts of Yiddishkeit. And we have to learn how to bring bring everything back into our camp. But b'poil b'maisa. In a practical way, to take the deepest concepts of Yiddishkeit and to show Jews that Yiddishkeit has all of the depth and all of the warmth and all of the beauty, and it's not just something which is in the air, but how to live that way. This is what I mentioned. I was on Shabbos morning a few weeks ago, Yontif, but there was a series of articles that was written in one of the Jewish magazines. I don't remember if it was Ami or Mishpacha, but in one of the Jewish magazines about the struggles that Bali Tshuva having years later. Yeah? So they're having afterwards. And they were asking different people, Isaac and Kiruv HaChayim and things, talking about this Indian. And there were a few letters from Bali Tshuva. Of course, that's what we need. We need to hear from the Bali Tshuva. There are a few letters from Bali Tshuva who are writing about the feeling that they have trying to say it in as nice a way as possible, but that they were misled. They were just simply misled. They were taken for a ride, like we used to say. Yiddishkeit was presented as something, as the most meaningful, deep, beautiful thing, etc. And they expected they were going to live that kind of a life. And then it came down to the Lamaisa, the yeshiva didn't accept your kid because you're a Baal Tshuva in Eretz Yisrael somewhere. They didn't tell that to me in the manual. It wasn't written in my Baal Tshuva manual. I thought I'm going to be the most respected, the most loved Jew in the whole Eretz Yisrael. And I see that the other kids don't want to play with my kid. It wasn't in the manual. The terrible, terrible disappointment in seeing that the beautiful Yiddishkeit that I studied about, that I was taught by these inspired people in the Baal Tshuva yeshiva, seminary, whatever, that is very, very, very far from the nitty-gritty of a daily life of Torah Mitzvahs. A lot of that has to do with just, of course, a mature realization that with everything, you still have to get up in the morning and go to work, It's not... But, and of course, that's a matter of a mature way of thinking and understanding and allowing for a certain margin of failure when it comes to this Indian. But on a deeper level, it's a terrible, terrible tragedy. Not just for the Baal Tshuva, but for everybody. It's a terrible tragedy. That the Kedushas Leiva that we learn is not the Kedushas Leiva that we live. That's really killing us. And that's a hard thing, to bring the Kedushas Leiva, to bring the Tanya into the house. That's why I was so impressed by this Talmud's letter of bringing it into the house. We could bring back many lost souls this way. And lost souls doesn't mean people are not religious. It's also, it means us. And with all the practicality of the poil lemaisa, imze lo yechsar, together with that, lo yechsar, ki im yitvosef lehem koach pnimi v'achav ezdaz. That by picking up the broom, it doesn't mean you're going to lose your connection to the deeper meaning of cleaning. He says, other Abba, ki im yitvosef lehem koach pnimi v'achav ezdaz. If the depths of the beauty of Yiddishkeit will be lived, the pile of a mice in a practical way, it won't take away from our understanding. It won't take away from the concepts, from the thoughts, from the ideas, he says Kim Yisvasef, it will add Koach Pnimi v'Achaves Daz. It will add the Koach Pnimi and Achaves Daz. His Irish shall avoid the Maisis v'Iyunis. It'll be more of an avoida that's a combination of masis and iunis. Maisi means practical, and iunis means in thought. Iunis means the iun, thinking, tire, pnimius. Unfortunately, people think that there's that these are two different worlds. The pnim and the chitzayin, pnimius and chitzayin are two separate worlds. That's not how Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted it. That's not how he wants it. They're not two different worlds. Pnimius means the pnimius of that chitzonius. It doesn't mean this pnimius. It doesn't mean this pnimius, the Kedushas Levi. That's pnimius. And the chitzonius is sweeping the floor for your mother. That's not what it means, pnimius and chitzonius. What does pnimius and chitzonius mean? It means that the Kedushas Levi is the pnimius of sweeping the floor. But that's not how we don't usually think like that. We have a way of dividing it. There's the pnimius of my life, and then there's the chitzonius of my life. The tachlis of being a Jew is to bring those two together. That's what it means. It means the pnimius of that chitzonius. It doesn't mean the pnimius of some other chitzonius. It doesn't mean just to be an ish pnimi. It means to be an ish pnimi, where the pnimius fills all the chitzonius of your life. So that everything that you do is in the way of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samen. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samen. And when there's a separation between the pnimius and the chitzonius, so then the chitzonius becomes a terrible drag, and can go totally into the wrong way. It could go even to all kinds of bad things. And the pnimius is just fluff. Air. Ideas and concepts. So there needs to be this yichud, which is the yichud of Kodesh Baruch Hu Shechinte, a yichud of pnimius and chitzonius, a yichud of maisis and iunis, of the lamaisa and the iyun. And Rav Kook says this is missing. He says I could be ma'ira people with who are excited about pnimius ha'Torah and love beautiful ideas and concepts, even people are not from. Love that. But how do you plant that bepoil in a person's life? For this we need great chachamim who possess this chachma al yoyna, that reaches all the way down to the lemais, the lemaisa. See, one thing that's I always found unique about the Lubavitch Rebbe, there are many things that were unique about him, but there was one thing that stood out as unique in Lubavitch Rebbe's Chusei Elena, is that in one sicha, in one talk, in one Torah, the Lubavitch Rebbe would be in the highest olamus, way, 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 way out in the highest olamus. The highest islands. And then at the end he would give practical aids. I mean, Mamish, like all the way down to helping your mother with cleaning the house. He would come all the way down to the chitzonius of the chitzonius. You see this by Rabbi Nachman also, the Indian in Breslov, of the deepest ties of Kutim Ran, all the way down to Lakuta Aegis and Tfilas. The Maisa, the Bapayal. Which you don't see this in the other chassidus, you don't see like that. By the other chassidus, there you look and you see there are beautiful, very, very beautiful deep ideas and deep concepts. And then you're on your own. The assumption is that on your own you're going to run with the ball and take this down into the pile. But you know, that's we don't have to do that. We're just regular chaver, we don't know what to do. So you get stuck in a funny life where you're sitting there shuckling all the Kedushas Levi while your mom is about to faint. She's so tired. And you don't see the connection. You see this by the by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. It started with the Friedrich Rebbe when he came to America. Otherwise, the early Chabad Tzaddikim wasn't so much. It was very, 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 very deep, very high. By Lubavitcher Rebbe was also very high. But then he had a way. If you look at his letters, and then he makes like parades and marches, and other people made fun of these things. You know, he made an army. I happened to see last night, I was looking at a sefer that a Chabad friend of mine sent. It has some pictures I never saw. There's some beautiful pictures. Just when you thought you've seen every picture of Lubavitcher Rebbe, there are always new ones. So there's this sweet, sweet picture that there were children. You know, he taught the kids that they're in Tzivos Hashem, right? Hashem's army, Tzivos Hashem. And that was a very big thing by them. Tzivos Hashem, the army of Hashem, soldiers. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was a very, very great expert, by the way, in military strategy, in war. He was a bucky in the history of Milchamis and everything. He used to call them for ages from the Israeli army, the biggest people. And he designed the Chassidus. It's an interesting thing how he did it. He often uses in his Sichas also the shyness that are military. But he taught the kids that they're in the Tzivos Hashem, and they had uniforms. Things and made a whole like tzava of the kinvalach. So there's this adorable picture that I saw last night, where there were fathers bringing their kids for brachas to the rabbi. The rabbi had a kreishal bracha, you know, he used to pour kreishal bracha, and they were lined up to get a kreishal bracha. And this little boy, there's a picture. The little boy saluted the rabbi. He was like this. He went like this. And the Rebbe's smiling, he's holding the kais in one hand, and the Rebbe goes like this, going like this back then. He's saluting him back. It's an adorable picture. Tzivos Hashem. Here you have one of the greatest thinkers that we know that in Klal Yisrael that we've had in hundreds of years, such a mind. And he was able to salute a little boy and to bring down Yiddishkeit into such a thing of Tzivos Hashem. And you have all the big knockers that they make fun of these things, which I always misspell from it. Like you have like the you see of these Chabad houses that they make, like my good friend Rabbi Wallowick here, that they have, you know, that they make for Chanukah these beautiful things, like you know, programs and all kinds of things, and for the kids, and they do a million things like that, the Lubavitchers, wherever they are. So everybody else says, "What was the tachlis?" And sometimes all these lumdish things, and the Lubavitch, they just don't care about any of that stuff, and they just go down, and they build playgrounds for kids, and they have a good time, and they just do that. They have an unbelievable courage to do that. Well, everybody else is talking about how it should be and what it should be like, and we have ideas and we have concepts and this and that. And he was always like that with everything, Lubavitch. When people come to him and they start to talk and schmooze and all kinds of high things, the Lubavitcher Rebbe would always say, "So what are you doing? What are you doing about this?" Even big Rabbanim, they would come to him. He would give it to them. "So what are you accomplishing? What are you doing? You're an old man. What are you doing?" He would talk like that. To be able to translate Pnimius into the Bepoil and to plant a garden of Jews, it's very, very hard. In Lamaisa, in Lubavitch, of course, there's a big Shiras HaKelem on many levels. The Rebbe was Nifter, even before when he wasn't able to be Mashgiach over everything, when he wasn't well, there's been a big, big, big Shiras HaKelem. But in all of that, who the Rebbe was, he take the deepest Chassidus. Chabad Chassidus is so, so deep. And then every single Torah and every single thing was to bring it down to the Lamaisa. How to get more Jewish women and girls to light Shabbos candles. How to make more Jews put on tefillin. Others will sit around talking about tefillin till 120. The Lubavitcher Rebbe sends guys, go put tefillin on Jews. I'm not sure you could argue in halacha, it's everything you like about this. Like I always think, all these people, they made all kinds of tainus against these things. Who knows what Ayin Le'irosa L'Kim Zol Secha, what the Lubavitcher Rebbe is in the next world, in the other world, what he was poyel. Which the tzaddikim, who were tzaddikim pnimim, understood what he's poyel. Even though they might have had certain disagreements about some of the tactics. But they were makanda what he was able to be poyel. To change the Jewish world in such a way. That's hard. It's very, very hard to do that. Obviously, when you bring it down to Asiyah Shebel Asiyah, there can be some casualties along the way. And people, you know, if you go all the way down into the sandbox, you get dirty, you know. It's very hard to come out from the sandbox being clean. You can get dirty. And not everybody is able to do that. Some people have to just stay in the Bismedrash and not to go to the street, not to go into the sandbox. But Rav Kook said that it's not going to take away from the Pnimius. Adrabba. It'll bring to more Pnimius and more Hachavas Adas, more depth and more understanding and more learning. It's Irish La'avayda Maisis V'iyunis. V'cheifetz Shel Chayim Klolim. And a desire for life. Chayim Klolim. Chayim Klolim means a normal, healthy life. Marriage, mitzvah Shem, the children, work, a normal, healthy life. The chifet shel chayim klolim mevusasim yafe, that they have a strong foundation in pnimius. There's some work. There's some work in the house that we're doing, and there's a yid there that is one of the workers. There's a yid from Borough Park. You know, it's a chassidish yid with his working clothing, a very sweet person. So my wife's getting annoyed because I'm distracting him too much from what he's supposed to be doing, but I like to schmooze with him. And this yid is a baal malacha. You know, his mom is in the trenches, like doing this malacha, and he stands up and we talk, and in I'm telling you, in 30 seconds he's talking chassidus and kabbalah, this yid, such an yanim, while he's standing there holding a wrench, he's talking like this, such an yanim. He's all fashvist and his payas is a mess, and he's such a delicious Jew. Wow, the place of pnimius of a pnimius. He's working undercover. He's working with a wrench undercover. It's mamish. You know, so I feel like, so I'd say, hey, I feel bad. Like, I want to, you know, I feel bad. I mean, if I'd be really a good guy, I would get under the thing and work with him, except I would probably mess up the whole house or something. But I feel bad. Like, what's a nice boy like you doing in a place like this? But that's a wrong way of thinking. He doesn't see any kind of a disconnection. He doesn't see anything. He's just like a happy Jew. He says, stands up in the middle, starts telling Tfer Shleimer. In the middle of everything. He's such a yid. The Baruch Shalom loves such people. There's no steerer between being on your back with gook dripping on your forehead or something, and trying to fix stuff. There's no steer between that and the Tfer Shleimer. There's no steer. And then that yid today, Erev Shabbos, he's going to take himself a nice chassidish bath to the mikveh, and he's going to come with his bekish and his shtramel to shul, shining mamish. Such a tzur of a yid that was a davar pashut again years ago, that it's not a stira. There's nothing to feel bad about. He's an honest person that's making a living. He doesn't feel bad about himself at all. It doesn't seem that way. It's not a stira. But in certain circles, it came out that that's a big stira. How could he be a real Jew if he's not sitting over the ktsais or over the kivayger? He's lying under a pipe somewhere with a wrench. This became a stira. Only in the last few years, this became a stira. To have a healthy life. Chefet shel chayim, klolim mevusosim yafe, that have a strong foundation in Tver Shleimer, in the Black Gemara, umizgabim lefi tigbayris goydel hadeya v'archavosim, and increase. And become expanded, stronger and stronger, with increased knowledge and understanding of Torah, of Pnim Yisrael Torah. It's not a steer at all. But it's a tremendous chachma to be able to raise a generation like that. To raise a family like that. It's a tremendous, tremendous chachma to be able to do that. Are we going to end now? And Hashem's work should help us that we should be able to see how those two worlds come together. And that's what's going to happen. When Mashiach comes, so we're going to take all of our kelim, all of our things from this world, and we're going to understand that all the tikkun ha'olam takes place with a monkey wrench bigger than with some fancy article that a person writes. It takes with a monkey wrench and with a fresh lining. It should be safe.